radiorwb.co.uk. Breaking news. Okay, today on Radio RWB.com, we've got Nick Griffin, the present leader of the British National Party, on the line. Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon, John. Present and leader for some time to come, incidentally.
Absolutely. I'd just like to ask you a few questions. I mean, critics might say that your announcement was merely a way to stave off a potential leadership challenge. How would you respond to that?
Well, it most definitely isn't. It's something I discussed with a small number of people, you know, before the election. Mm-hmm. By 2014, I'll have been leader for 15 years. And that really is about enough time for various reasons. And as for a leadership challenge this year, well, the simple fact is everybody knows, unfortunately, at present, there's no one here to take my job who could do it well. Mm-hmm. And that's not me being big-headed. Everyone knows that's the fact.
Yes.
So if someone wanted to stand down, because it's been mooted around in various circles, you know, some of them well-meaning and some of them most definitely not well-meaning towards the British National Party, if someone wants to stand, that's fine. You know, we had a contest a couple of years ago, and there'd be, I think, a similar sort of result. And if someone wants to throw the hat in the ring in the appropriate time in June, they can do. It doesn't bother me. You know, really, why should the idea that I'm proposing stepping down as leader in, you know, 3.5 years' time, why should that make any difference to the position now? It's just a statement of my long-term intentions.
Yes, I think that's a very fair comment. I mean, did you feel that come, you know, when you reach that time, that you feel that you have achieved everything that you set out to achieve from when you were first elected?
I certainly think I'll have set out what is achievable. And obviously, you know, it would be great to be the leader of the governing party in Britain. Mm. But that's a lot of organisation and a serious crisis away on the face of it. So what I'll have achieved is to have dragged this party, when I first was first involved and first elected, I said I was going to drag this party kicking and screaming into the 21st century. And in political terms, I've done so. In organisational terms, that's been done in the party centre over the last 2 years, as, you know, some people know and others don't really know. And the same still has to be done now with the regional and the local level. And I'm going to be doing that over the next 2 years. And at that point, having a party ready to hand over, you know, in really good, effective condition as a really modern, effective machine to my successor, yeah, I'll have done my job.
Nick, it's widely acknowledged in party circles that you still have the overwhelming support of the membership. I mean, has there been any personal aspects that have influenced your decision to step down as leader in 3 years' time?
Well, it's not something... It's 3.5 years' time, by the way. Yeah. It's not something that I've... a decision I've come to lightly, you know, at all. Obviously, I've discussed it with my family, you know, at great length. No, it's a combination of things. I think that's the time that's best for the party, because there's going to be a lot of changes. We've now got to modernise the party regions, and especially, you know, the branches and the groups and how we work. And there's an awful lot of dead wood is going to be cut out over the next 2 years, quite simply. Mm-hmm. And that's going to upset quite a few people, just as modernising and sorting out and professionalising the party centre has upset quite a few people who might have been, good-hearted, but were frankly incompetent and not up to scratch. Mm-hmm. That's got to be done over the next 2 years. I don't want to do that having to worry about my popularity. I want to do what's right by the party, you know, sort it out and then give someone a really effective machine. So that's going to bring a fair bit of slack on me. But, you know, I'm used to flack. And I can take it all. The thing which I don't like, and really, I've got a thick skin, and my family really have developed pretty thick skins as well. You know, Jennifer, my eldest daughter, as a lot of people know, she's absolutely crucial in our administration now, and ferociously efficient, and incidentally, she does not want my job. She's got more sense. Mm-hmm. There's no possibility of that. I can take it, and we can take it, but There is a slight selfish element in it, I admit. You know, I've had 15 years of having the most outrageous lies told about me and my family by people who are either cranks or jealous or people who simply are incompetent and people who we've had to get rid of because they're not up to scratch, you know, and people who've got their own agendas and so on. And I don't mind... Yeah, someone coming along and challenging me on anything, asking me questions and things. But when it's done with malice and lies are told with malice and for people's, you know, own vested interests, you know, and it's unfair on me, my family, and it's potentially damaging to the party, then that really does get wearing. And I don't really see, from a selfish point of view, why I should be expected to do that for more than 15 years. I think that's enough for anybody.
Yeah. Is there still a is there still a prospect of forming a nationalist bloc at the next European elections? And as you've indicated, you would like to lead it.
Well, certainly it's a bit before then, really. We have now formed the European Alliance of Nationalist Movements in a formal way. It's registered under Strasbourg law, in fact, under French law. And we next month have the inaugural Congress of that. And we're pretty much on course with that, to turning that into an official body, which would have a degree of clout. It would certainly have funding and so on. And there'd be a great deal that we could do with that. So that's on the way well this side of the next European election. As for the next European elections, I've been studying and working with various close colleagues since the election, what the Labour Party now do and how they do it, and how we can turn that to our advantage, especially in PR elections. And of course, really from now on, all the major elections are going to be PR of one sort or another, and particularly the European elections of 2014. We know they're going to be PR. We know it's going to be a system that we've already won under. And I'm sure that if we roll out the lessons that certainly I and key colleagues have now learnt from the election that's just gone, that it's not just a matter of holding two seats. We'll be targeting to win two or three more at least, with a really serious prospect of winning them, more serious than we've had before at any time. And that would give us the largest bloc within the nationalist movement over there. Various of the nationalist parties are growing and organising at a very effective rate. And I think that there's every chance then that we would form a proper, official, funded nationalist bloc, which could do an awful lot of damage to the Eurocrats and the Europhiles. And that being the case in 2014, I would want to lead that. I believe I'd then have the experience to lead it. I think to lead something like that, you've got to be that little bit older than to lead a national political party really effectively, or vice versa. So I think that's the stage at which I can go on and help the cause in a different way, and also, of course, be able to spend the maximum possible time on and in my constituency in the Northwest. That's very important as well. And at the same time, be available to help and advise and to an extent guide my successor, because I don't just want to hand over a party that's in really good condition, an unrivaled nationalist fighting force. I also want to make sure it stays that way, whoever takes it over.
Nick, we just had a full weekend of meetings where the party came together to look at how we fight future elections and our analysis of the recent election. How do you feel the weekend went overall?
I think it was fantastic. It was really, really enjoyable. And people who were there on the Sunday will know it was marred only, really, by the problem that it was unbelievably hot. The room got stuffy, and there was some kind of Asian party next door. Some of the music coming through the wall made it positively surreal. But apart from that wee problem, the whole weekend, and people working in breakout groups all through the evening. We had different rooms in the hotel, with the publicity department working in one, the elections department working in another, all sorts of stuff being done. It was in fact a really good event, extraordinarily constructive, and we emerged out of it with a real spirit, not of unity just in a sort of general fluffy sense, but an absolute unified determination to get on and learn from the lessons that the Labour Party imparted to us and the Greens and Respect and the Christians, in the brutal beating that they gave us in the local elections. I don't know if the other parties are going to learn from that. I sure as hell have. And everybody there, was taking on board, but lapping up what I was talking about with it, and Clive Jefferson as well, our analysis. And importantly, not so much the analysis of what's happened. This is about the future. It's about moving on and learning from that and turning it to our advantage. And I have absolutely no doubt that that's what we're going to do. And I think that everybody who was there came away, understanding that's the case as well. So all in all, that was a cracking weekend.
Very interesting, Nick. And finally, could you give us your view on the general teaching council's hearing taking place this week against our party member Adam Walker?
Yes, indeed. It's an outrage, this. I think what they're doing, obviously, they set out several years ago to persecute Adam as a nationalist teacher, and between himself and especially representation from Solidarity, the Independent Nationalist Trade Union, really, they fought the General Teaching Council to a standstill. They've got all sorts of things overturned. They've established the fact that you can be a teacher and be in the BNP. There's no issue there at all, according to the General Teaching Council. But, of course, the persecution still goes on. So it's a very important case. I think they're reckoning, well, if they win and manage to find Adam guilty, in effect, well, then Cameron can say of his election promise to ban our members from being teachers, well, it shows it's necessary. If, on the other hand, they lose, then Cameron will come back and say, well, it shows a change in the law is necessary. So it's a very sinister aspect of the creeping totalitarian multicult state. And I hope very much, obviously, that Adam gets the right result. And he's vindicated. Whatever happens, I think he'll be appealing. And I'd like to put on record thanks to Solidarity to Pat Harrington and others for putting up a tremendous fight in this case, and so many others. The presentation that Solidarity gave to the meeting we had yesterday as part of a sort of sign of what we're trying to do, and the fact that we're not a sectarian party, we need to reach out to genuine nationalists, genuine patriots in other places. And that was a tremendously inspiring presentation. I don't know how many, probably very few of our people know, I didn't know, that Solidarity fairly recently won a £30,000 unfair dismissal case for one of their members and a £33,000 settlement for something else for another one. This is really serious, big stuff here for a young unit. And certainly they've done so much to help a lot of our members. But in fact, rather than the BNP propping up Solidarity, as is alleged. In fact, the BNP costs Solidarity a lot of money because it's so often our members are getting persecuted. And I urge everyone to join the union because it really is doing well. And it's one of the examples of how we have to get into really deep politics and recognising every vote and every campaigner really counts in a BR election rather than simply knocking ourselves out, putting out leaflets and spending lots of money on them. There's many, many more subtle ways to run this, to run our fight, and Solidarity is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, we all certainly wish Adam well, and if the case is still ongoing tomorrow, I'm hoping to be over there with Radio RWB to get some recording on the scene there.
Well then, John, let me tell you then that although I was supposed to be in hospital today, I'm now not because they have to had an emergency in the operating theatre or something similar. So I'm back out and on the loose. I'm on the way to meet up with several people to discuss a huge increase in our education and training programme. They were going to be doing it without me, which is fine. But as I'm available, then I'm going down there today. But it's also my intention, other things being equal, to go to Birmingham tomorrow, if that case is still going on. I urge as many people as possible to get there to tomorrow. It should be the second and last day of the case. Adam deserves our support. I guess there'll be some press there, talk to me and so on. So it should be quite an event. So I look forward to seeing you, but hopefully other listeners as well.
Okay then, Nick, we'll leave it there and we'll hope to see you there tomorrow. Thank you very much, Mr. Nick Griffin.
Web radio.